Rise and Shine with Boomer doing sports talk his way. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Sportsnet 960 Mornings, brought to you by Universal Ford Lincoln. Ford employee pricing is back. You pay what we pay. It's that simple. Find out more at 2800 Barlow Trail Northeast or at myuniversal.ca.
It's 9:03. Here in studio on your Friday morning, loving it.
Yeah, it's on.
Is that all right? You don't need to wear those if you don't want.
Okay. I don't know. Sometimes I like wearing them.
If you want to hear the sweet music bed, there you go.
I feel like a real radio DJ when I wear them.
Yeah. Ari Shaffir, ladies and gentlemen. Ari Shaffir. I was thinking when talked to Scott, don't think we had you on the last visit, but the visit prior. This is a pretty routine stop for you coming to Calgary.
Yeah. I love it here.
Once a year?
It used to be never. And then Scott brought me in, and now this is three times. More than once a year. Once every 10 months. Every year. Okay.
Yeah. This town has become, it's a stop now.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely want to come for Stampede.
Yes,
gotta
you do.
Gotta find my way to come for Stampede.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, I do, right?
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. You'll want to speak very nicely to Scotty. And hey, it'd be great for you.
There's no comedy during that week. That's all I hear.
Oh. Yeah.
That's the comedy. But I can come and just watch people get material for afterwards.
But when we talked, we had you in training. Yeah, two visits ago, things were going well. The podcast was kind of taking off and all that, and missed you last round. And I really feel, and I said it before we went on the air, I feel like this is one of the last times that we're going to see Ari Shaffir in a club because you are, we said it last time, this is where it's going. There's a select crew of you guys, I think, that are now starting to separate from the pack, and you're definitely in that. And obviously you've...
Yeah, I feel like that a little bit. It's kind of weird because it's still just going up every night and just doing what you've been doing.
Haven't changed anything.
Yeah, maybe I've changed my focus into like writing and developing new material.
Yeah.
For like a reason to put it out, you know, it focuses you to like do something, you know what I mean?
So how
a goal.
I don't, for a guy who doesn't know what it's like to be creative.
Yeah.
I just wonder how that would be. So I'm going to change the way I think about things or approach things.
Well, I had this big talk with Louis C.K. and he told me about how he puts out an hour a year. We were walking from one venue at Just for Last Festival in Montreal to another. And I was like, you know, that's kind of unheard of, right? This is 5 years ago, maybe. And he was like, yeah, and he just explained to me how he did it. Just throws away all his material once he records it, and just his creative brain forces him to like make new stuff.
Yeah.
And I kind of poo-pooed it for a year or two. I was like, yeah, but anything you record, you can just sell to HBO or Comedy Central or show it to somebody's going to buy it. I don't have that option. But then I started thinking more about it, and I realized it was just like, I'm giving reasons why I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
But I haven't given any reasons why I should do it. So I was just like, you know, as a creative, I don't know, game, just try it. Just try to write a new hour in a year. And man, it's shockingly easy. You get locked into doing what you do. You don't change it all.
Yeah.
Plus, I went through a depression, so I just thought, hey, I'll just commit to stand up, and as soon as I'm out of money, I can just put a bullet in my brain.
But that's what it is, right? There's got to be some flux in your life. Every comedian has some dark past. Or there's not a lot of, oh yeah, I grew up in a white picket fence with one brother, one sister, and it's great. And I'm a great stand up. No, you're not.
Stand ups work shockingly little. And every time I tell people, like, hey, how much? Everyone's like, I work really hard. I was like, when's the last time you wrote for 15 minutes in a day?
Yeah.
And they're all like, oh, I don't do that. Way too much.
The whole hour in a year thing.
Yeah.
And because I talk about it whenever stand-ups come in. It's mind-boggling. To do an hour on no one can wrap your head around it until you've tried to go on.
It is a long time. Yeah, once you have 10, 12 years of experience, an hour's not that long. You can do the time. I did longer than that yesterday, right? Like an hour 15 or something, and I left out some stuff.
Yeah.
And when you
and half I gotta wonder when you get started, it's like, hey, I finally got my hour.
Yeah.
What do you have?
I do 5 minutes a month.
You got 35 minutes? Well, you know,
it was 5 minutes a month. If you get that pace, then you're going strong.
Yeah.
You know? But I'm over the year now. I'm like at 17 months, 18 months.
Yeah.
So I just got this hour ready to go. I'm recording next month.
But then
doing a special.
Then you gotta.
Then it sucks.
Then you gotta Louis C.K. that stuff and give it.
It's like you kill leading up to it. So October 29th, I'm taping. So October 28th, 27th, it's killing for an hour.
Yeah.
And then October 30th, it's So, what's in the news?
Yeah.
Scotland, huh? Some stuff with that, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's how you separate from the
pack. Oh, yeah. I forgot you're a stand-up fan. I forgot about that.
Well, I but that's how you separate.
Yeah.
Is by not trotting out the jokes that people heard
that
when you were through last time and the time before. That's the only way to do it.
It's weird. In the beginning, you just learn how to write a joke. And it takes a while. It takes years to learn how to just write a good joke. You write a couple here or there by accident. Then you slowly learn more and more how to do it. And then you do that. You learn how to do it. You have this dearth of material, you know, and you go to that because those are your winners. And you do an hour. You're like, well, here's what I can do for an hour, 20 minutes, whatever it is. And then at some point, you're like, okay, I've done that. And then some guys just keep doing that.
Yeah.
The love master, like he's been doing the same jokes for 15 years. And the other guys like get more interested in like the process of getting new material. You know, that's kind of more interesting to me. And then I get bored with it after like a year.
And where does, as far as working on the material, you got to go up.
Got to go up.
Is that where it, you know, is that
LA
where
or New York? I moved to New York last year.
I was going to ask you because it's got to be one or the other.
So that's it's three times more spots than in LA. You know, I can get up like a few times a night instead of once a night.
Yeah. The Stand.
The Stand is a lot.
Gotham,
Cellar. Uh-huh.
Stand
of New York.
Yeah.
Little garbage rooms.
And you literally do that, right? It's like, okay, I can get on at 9 here and then 10:30 here and then 11. You just go from club to
club. Yeah, they're all
club.
Pretty good at like, hey, I have a 9:15 here and I have a 9:30 over there. I don't have time. Can you push one back to 10? And they go, yeah, okay, I'll ask to switch with somebody.
So do you find, same
it's
city.
It's fun though, man. It's invigorating, running from spot to spot.
Yeah, but do you find, okay, so I'm at the Stand. Now I'm going to go to the Cellar.
Yeah.
What killed here did not work as well
here.
Yeah,
sometimes, but sometimes it's because you're tired too.
Yeah.
So then you're like, instead of like smiling at the right spot and like putting the crowd at ease, you just don't have quite the energy to do it, and then it doesn't put them at ease, and they're like, hey, this is just racist, you know? Without that little smile,
that's
a lot
not
of
funny.
Stuff is just racist.
That's
just homophobic.
Yeah, that's just bad taste.
Yeah.
I was listening to, I think it was a pod, it was Robert Kelly was talking to Colin Quinn, and he was talking about this one night, he was on stage, and he had just this bit that he did, but it never really quite worked, and then that night, bam, there it was.
Yeah.
Just whether it all worked that night on stage. Grabs his recorder and he wasn't recording.
Oh.
And he's like, okay, now what did I do there? And he never got it back. Do you do that?
Yeah, sometimes I'll go back to a bit that I'll listen to. I'll mark it on my phone as this bit done well.
Yeah.
And then I'll start struggling with it. I'll be like, wait, why isn't this working anymore? And then I'll go back and listen to like the time we went well.
Yeah,
I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot this part, the setup part. It dropped out by accident.
Yeah.
I don't know. Things like that. It helps to cross-reference. Or the first time you do a bit, I'll record that and mark it.
Yeah. Do you take advice from other guys, from other comedians?
I try to, yeah.
Because some won't, right? It's like, no, that's not mine.
Yeah,
I don't
take taglines as much.
Yeah.
Like, you should say this thing. But sometimes they go like...
Have you thought of...
Yeah, what would your dad say about that? I thought your dad was going to come home and say something. And
you're like,
that is a whole angle. You're right.
Yeah.
You know? And then I have to write the jokes myself. But like, oh, just that way of thinking. Yeah, absolutely.
Because there's
or, yeah. This joke's been done before. If somebody tells you that, you're like, oh, really?
Yeah.
And you have to like try to stop.
Because I've talked to some, they're like, no, because then it's not organic. Then it's not mine.
Yeah, some guys are like,
I'm just going to lock myself in my room. And when it becomes mine, if it comes out, it comes out. And if it doesn't, it doesn't.
Yeah.
Ari Shaffir is our guest this weekend at Yuck Yucks. If truly one of the best going today. Get yourself tickets. Friday, Saturday, couple shows each. Tight.
Yeah.
Do it now.
Hurry up.
Get on it now.
It's sold out
in
2 hours. Right? About 2 hours.
So you're now doing you don't need to come. You don't need to be here today. You don't need to be here.
Oh, radio.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't mind doing it. Also, I want to make sure it sells out.
Yeah. But it's going to. People know who you are. You now have that name recognition.
Yeah, but I'm still so beaten down from those first years of comedy. Whenever I walk into a club and it's like Thursday, the first show, and I walk in, let's say I walk in an hour early and I see the showroom and I'm like, oh, there's nobody here. They go, dude, relax. Nobody's supposed to be here yet. There's only three people here.
That's
they got
right,
here
yeah.
for no reason. I'm just so used to there being eight people in the audience.
You still have to be funny, which goes without saying, right? But even because I think it was Seinfeld that says, you know, I'll come out and it's standing ovations and that's great.
Yeah.
But after joke 3, 4, 5, unless it's funny, it's like, oh, what's happened to Jerry Seinfeld? You still have to have the stuff that makes it work.
Yeah, I think a lot of guys lose sight of that, though. I see more and more like of the older guys. They've made it. They've started, you know, they've made a bunch of money and people know who they are. And then they're just not as funny.
Yeah.
They just go to skirt by. You know, when you're just like a hot girl, she doesn't have to know how to act. She can like start fights at bars and she'll always get away with it. She'll barf and someone will hold her hair back. There's no real repercussions.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you're Jerry Seinfeld level or even way below that, but still like sort of famous,
yeah,
there's less repercussions for a bad joke. Crowd laughs at you anyway.
Yeah.
You watch Chappelle meandering through a non-thought out 2-hour set. And every time it goes 10 minutes without a laugh. And as soon as he makes a joke, everyone's right back with him.
Yeah, I know. But you know what?
He has no incentive to write new jokes.
But that news travels as fast as you got to see this guy. He killed. It's like, yeah, I was surprised. I went to see blank. And boy, I don't know. It's just the last time I saw him, it was better. And the time before that, it was better.
It was even better, yeah.
You got to have that.
Yeah, I get worried about that. I see the traps everyone else has fallen into.
Yeah.
And my friends go like, no, that could never happen to you because you're this and this. I'm like, well, it happened to Carlin.
Yeah.
I'm not better than George Carlin. So like, what do you mean? It's just hubris to think it's not going to happen to you.
So how, what?
I just want to delay it.
What is it that sparks you? Is it just, okay, so get up in the morning, cup of coffee, newspaper. What's in the news?
No, I don't do that. It's more social stuff.
Yeah.
So as I come across things in my day-to-day life, or the more I talk about it, just like, what's on your mind? What do you think about? You know, when you have the same conversations that get you riled up?
Yeah.
Are you a Dodgers fan?
No.
Okay.
Was at a game, bought a hat.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. That's all right. That's allowed.
But didn't you have something about baseball? Aren't you kind of a baseball guy?
Yeah, I like baseball.
Yeah.
Yankees fan. Yankees. Yeah. And they're about to be out now.
Yeah, well.
They're old.
They won last night. Jeter home run.
I know. It's pretty nice.
Small victories at this point, right?
People are like, are they going to sit Jeter? And you're like, no, you're not going to sit Jeter. Stop it. And they're like, well, he's not batting well. It's like, so is nobody else in the team.
Yeah.
Their best batter is like 281.
What about everywhere they go, they're giving him gifts?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Dude, he's been a great player for a while.
It's like, geez, thanks.
And loved.
Thanks for the... this Civic hatchback.
This is
fantastic.
They did that for Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I remember that. They gave him like a motorcycle at some place. Yeah. It was just like honoring him.
And he has to fake it right in Tampa Bay or whatever it was. They gave him a kayak. It's like, hey, thanks.
Thanks. I live in New York.
How
the water here is gross.
How am I getting this home?
Oh,
and then where am I putting it? thanks for the gift that's going to cost me money.
And then they beamed him right after that.
Yeah.
Like, thanks. Here you go.
Ari Shaffir at Yuck Yucks. Now,
my friend has a story about Derek Jeter.
Yeah?
He went to Michigan, Derek Jeter, for like 3 months before he like left and went to the Yankees.
Yeah.
I don't think he ever played a game even, unless it's in the spring. Maybe he did. But my friend's only interaction with him was Jeter went over to him and go, hey, when's Yom Kippur? Because he was sitting with all his Jew friends. And he goes, I don't know. I think it's like in a month. He goes, oh, cool. And that was it. He gives gift baskets to girls after he bones them.
Yes, he does.
And our driver is waiting to take them home.
Thoughtful.
All class.
That's thoughtful stuff.
I walk them to the front door, to like my apartment door.
Yeah.
Not the front door of the building.
What's in your gift basket?
A morning after pill and someone else's phone number.
Yeah. The
gift certificate for an abortion.
Yeah.
In case they forget the morning after pill.
The crowds here, like, because the Jewish thing, does that fly as much here as it does?
No, but I don't do as much Jewish jokes. I do a little bit here or there.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody still knows those hook-nosed bastards. Everybody's been like, wait a minute, you didn't give them back the right change. Well, you've just met a Jew.
Yeah, because I feel like it's the
I don't know. There's definitely not as many here.
Yeah, like the political stuff and the, you know, just...
Sometimes when I'm talking about America in some way, I like as I'm about to say it, I'm like, oh, I'm not there.
Yeah.
I wonder how much you guys know.
You guys, Obama, right? You know?
Are you familiar with him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you have to kind of
crap? It's weird. I've gone to other countries this year. I went to China and Switzerland and Amsterdam, played at a bunch of different places. And I realized how, as little as I know about other countries, that's pretty much how much they know about America.
Yeah.
They kind of know Obama. They don't know the vice president or any of that. They're concerned with their own countries, like everybody is. Canada and America have more of a, like a, you know, sister brother relationship. We're aware of each other a little bit.
Yeah, I guess.
But anywhere else, they're like, I don't know, you guys are just some country. We don't give a crap.
Yeah.
Almost did it there.
That's all right.
Yeah.
We're on delay. No, we're not.
Oh, are you?
Okay. Go ahead. I don't care.
See how much I can get the delay down.
Yeah. Ari Shaffir. Now, you said.
Got half a second. Don't do anything.
How long you been in New York? Because you were doing.
I've been there a year. I moved there a year in April.
You enjoy that?
Yeah, I love it. It's new streets, new girls. New stages. I love it. It's just invigorating. I don't want to die in my same apartment that I've been in for 10 years.
Because most people would say, that's California. What are you doing? You could go California.
Yeah, but the more my career moves towards stand-up and away from like commercials and like TV stuff, I audition for TV things now. And I mean, I see the lines. I'm like, I can't do this. Like, they're just too unfunny.
Yeah.
The more I build a name of what I find is funny, I can't just do the... I could before. Or I'm like, eat a McDonald's. Some stupid.
Yeah, yeah.
Some awful joke. What's that worst? Taco Bell. They're the worst commercials. They're just so unfunny. At least if you're not trying to be funny, it's okay. But when they're trying and failing.
I know.
But now it's like, ugh, I can't do this. I went to read for a sitcom once. And I finished the audition. And the casting director was like, okay, that was good. My only note was you didn't do any of the lines. I was like, oh, yeah, listen, these lines are really bad. I can't do them.
Yeah.
I can't say manscaping. It was 2014. I'm like, are you kidding me? I can't deliver this. I'll lose all my fans.
Yeah.
It's not worth the 50 grand a week or whatever it is. It's not worth it. Plus, not having a job is so much better than a job. So there's so few things I can do.
Do you like being in that spot, though?
It's like, I would have to be in L.A. Yeah, it's a great spot to be in, to be able to say, screw you. I'll do what I want.
Take my wife. Seriously.
Turn down money, yeah.
Oh, it's great, great art.
Dude, there's
stuff.
Such a freedom to not having a job, to being able to say no to anybody, to a garbage club owner. Like I told you, some clubs, especially you.
Yeah.
No. Some clubs, they're just like bad, and you get an offer to do it again. You're like, no. And you're like, what do you mean? And I was like, no, I'll just work out in New York. I don't need to do that.
So where would these places be? These garbage
there's a place
clubs.
In Connecticut. There's lots of places. There's lots of places that are just like Miami. I'll never go to Miami. That improv. It's horrible. It's horrible. It should be burned. In fact, if I make enough money, I'm going to buy it and
that's
burn
right.
it.
And then just
controlled
burn.
Burn.
So what's the end game? Because for a lot of comedians we come through, we talk to them.
Yeah.
Sitcom.
A minute already.
Would be great, you know, to have write your own, like, because what Louis does, right?
Yeah.
I got my show. I write it. I produce it. I have complete creative control.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, that'd be fun. But I always viewed acting as like, well, no, sometimes I got lost and I was like, I need to do this. But usually I viewed it as just a cool hobby.
Yeah.
You know, like everyone's playing softball. I'm like, yeah, I'll play. And it's fun as hell. But it's not like what I want to do every day.
Yeah.
Although maybe actually softball might be fun to play every day. Maybe a bad example. Actually sounds like a great
Well,
life.
You know what's great about, in this case, if it was playing softball, and then even when you're done playing softball, they keep sending you money. Like if softball game gets syndicated or something like that, then it's really good.
Dude, that was the greatest thing with commercials. They don't pay the same in Canada, but the American commercials, it's like you just get paid every time it runs. So if you're at a bar, you know how they have the TV on mute?
Uh-huh.
Then you see it, you just be like, hey, I just made $130. Round on me,
round
everybody.
On me.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Great. Just seeing your face walk by the screen or your ear. That's all you got to see is your ear.
A lot of people, when we said you were coming in, they listened to the podcast.
Yeah. Cool.
When is that going to, like going to Miami to a crap club, when is that going to become an encumbrance on you? And it's like, okay.
The podcast?
Yeah.
Already is. Almost immediately.
Yeah.
As soon as I said, hey, I'm going to put this out every Monday, as soon as I committed to like, I'll do this every Monday, it became an encumbrance.
Yeah.
It's a chore to do. Not even the discussions themselves are fine. You know, that's usually with my friends or somebody interesting that I'm interested in hearing something about them.
Sure, yeah.
Like if it was all about this radio, you know, you would tell me all the buttons you have to push and you know how you started and stuff like that. It'd be interesting.
Very exciting.
But just to get the interview, to have to call you and arrange a time, and then you have to equalize the wave files afterwards. All that stuff is just like effort.
Well, you gotta get somebody to do that for you.
I know.
Get some. They'll book it. They'll get, okay, the car comes and they take care of you. All the technical stuff, don't you
worry. A lot of guys do that. I don't know.
Mr. Shafir, don't you worry, I'm Mr. Shafir.
Maron does that. I think he has someone else cut his stuff and like, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. That's what you need to do. And there too.
I'm in the in-between stage. I don't make enough money to have someone else do that stuff for me.
And there too. Well, your podcast used to be so good.
It's
not good anymore.
That's what we're talking about. You get a new manager in there, a new owner, and it just loses a little something and people just go away.
This weekend, and I'll say it again, get there and see Ari Shafir because it might be the last time.
It ain't going to be the last time. I like doing clubs.
It might be the last time.
I don't like doing theaters. I did Jack Singer with Rogan a bunch of times.
Yeah, yeah.
They're fun, but they're not. There's no connection. I mean, because I've done those theaters a bunch when the money was the same. I just opened, you know? So it's 30 minutes to 30 minutes. Doesn't matter. It's nowhere close. Clubs are always better. It's a better feeling. Now, I could easily say, like, well, I can't fill up theaters, so that's fine. But I've done them, and they're just not as fun.
It's interesting, because a lot of that would, like, you talk about goals. There'd be a lot of people, once I'm out of the clubs, having to work five times a weekend or seven times a weekend, how about I work once and make the same amount of dough?
Yeah.
But like you say, you lose that disconnect, and then maybe your material suffers. And
Yeah, exactly. And then you start playing to your own crowd. That's another fear. You start playing to only your fans, and you don't get an honest rendition of what's going on. So yeah. Bill Burr is in clubs every day just stopping in.
Yeah.
To as few of his fans as possible to test his stuff, you know? That's what I did too. All the guys that work out in LA or New York are just doing that
it's
all
like
the
whenever,
time.
Whenever people will go to, because it's not like I've been to New York a bunch, but I've gone 5 or 6 times. And
yeah.
If, hey, I'm going to New York. You go Yankee game. I'm like, you got to go to the Cellar. You got to go down. Fun. You got to go to the
and
Village.
There's a shawarma place right next door. Mahmoud's. Man, it's good. Don't look down because there's a lot of rats coming out of the back.
Yeah, it's an interesting area for sure.
Yeah.
But you don't know who's coming in.
Oh, yeah.
At, you know,
dude, I went there. I'm like 2 years into comedy, and it was Jim Norton, Chappelle, Dave Attell. And then like 2 other, Dove Davidoff.
Attell's there a ton.
Attell's there all the time. Like, yeah. At the end of every night. It's cool getting to know him too.
Yeah.
Going to become friends with him. You sit on that front stoop and you, in the summer, just look at the drunk girls crying. That's become my favorite thing. Looking at a drunk girl crying and then her friend sitting next to her eating pizza and checking her texts.
Yeah.
Like so, uninterested in your tears.
Like or it was for a while, but now it's so, okay.
Yeah. All right. It's been 2 hours. Now. This guy's been treating you like this for a year. Yeah. I don't care anymore.
So who are your guys right now that you respect the most? That it's like, you know, he or she's doing it the right way.
Yeah,
the way they're grinding. That's
Bill Burr is leading the charge. He's in my group of people that are like trying to do this. He's him and Louis, but Louis seemed better than us. Burr, I saw the change. Tom Segura, who Scott's going to have here at some point soon, because he's a great, great comic.
He is.
Yeah, he's doing it on a real high level.
And not just because I kind of look like him with my fat face,
yeah,
and beard,
with fat face.
But
yeah.
But I think I think he's
just
very
rounder. Yeah, he's great. He's really on a high level.
I went to see Regan.
Uh huh. Brian Regan's great, but I never see him. But yeah, how was it?
Dynamite.
Yeah,
like absolute, and works clean, doesn't swear. You feel like he's working the crowd all the time. You don't know if it's part of the deal, but it feels so generic and organic. It feels like it's just off the cuff. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Whenever I see him, it's amazing. And he's like happens to be clean. You don't even notice. It's like he's trying to be clean.
Yeah, you
it
don't.
Just, it just is clean. I heard that he changes whenever he says, when he throws out an F-bomb, when he says that word, he'll like, as he's working on material, he'll be like, okay, that's, I can find a better word than that.
Yeah.
So if he's saying like, you're big effing boobs.
Yeah.
Can I say boobs?
Sure.
If he says, I bet you're big effing boobs, but like now I can change that word. So it goes, oh, you're big veiny boobs.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, it's funnier, more descriptive.
And it works.
Yeah.
And a lot of guys rely on it.
Oh, yeah. I'm one of those guys. I did that just recently. I'm like, man, what a good idea. You can learn from other comics too all the time.
Yeah.
Technical stuff.
If I threw an F-bomb in here, it's even more fun.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Yeah. It's just weak.
But that group, man, truly, you are right there.
Yeah.
You like I say, separated from the pack. I'm a big fan and can't say enough for people that are coming around. You got to see Ari.
Thanks. It's great to be on Classic Rock 92.7.
That's right. We'll have some Zeppelin coming for you after a short timeout. Tickets are there are very few available. What go online, Scotty? Yuck Yucks. You'll find Yuck Yucks Calgary. Get on it. And two tonight, two tomorrow.
Two tonight, two tomorrow. Then I'm going back Sunday. I'm going to Europe. I'm going to what's that thing called in Munich?
Amsterdam?
No. Oktoberfest. I'm doing Copenhagen. Then I'm going to Oktoberfest with my brother.
Just come back alive, hey?
Yeah,
that's
we'll
not
see.
That's not up your alley at all. Good to see you, man. Thanks for coming
out. Yeah, you too.
Like I said, you don't need to, when the shows are sold out, you don't need to be doing radio on a Friday morning.
Yeah, just move to the afternoon.
We appreciate it.
Or come by my bedroom, do a remote in my hotel room.
Yeah, maybe next time.
Okay.
926. There's Ari Shaffir, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Morning Hockey Talk with Boomer, only on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Sportsnet 960 Mornings, brought to you by Universal Ford Lincoln. Ford employee pricing is back. You pay what we pay. It's that simple. Find out more at 2800 Barlow Trail Northeast or at myuniversal.ca.
Our NHL Insider, brought to you by Eastside Kia, where the 2014 Clearout event is now on. Save $5,000 on a 2014 Kia Sportage SX Turbo, now just $29,260, or $93 on a weekly payment. Receive a no-charge remote starter with your purchase. Visit Eastside Kia at 23rd and Barlow or at eastsidekia.ca. Elliot Friedman, how are you?
I never knew you to be a disco guy.
Oh, dude. Give me some platform shoes and I'll dance the night away.
Bell bottoms.
Yeah, buddy.
This is a catchy tune though. September, very catchy.
It is. We are very close to the start of the NHL preseason, and I know how you love preseason. You must be very excited.
Yes, I always love preseason games. They're not a gouge in the least of the paying consumers.
You must love the NFL preseason. That one's got tons of value.
That's worse. Yeah. Like, I understand. I just sometimes I really think that teams do play too many games. There's no question about that to me. And the Rangers, considering where they ended up last year, they almost screwed up their entire season with their exhibition schedule. And because they played so many games out west, where you guys are, they kept so many players later, and at the end, it almost hosed them. But they righted themselves out. And the Leafs every year, I think, for example, like they usually play like 9 games, and I just think that's craziness.
This has been the worst year of exhibition hockey I've ever seen. I have never seen, like, we all know what exhibition hockey is. For whatever reason, this year we're the worst.
Yeah, like I say,
that was last year.
You're on record.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of exhibition sports in general because I think we play too many games.
Let's get into some of the news from around the league. The news out of Pittsburgh a day ago, no Sidney Crosby and no Evgeny Malkin to start training camp. Both of them with either lingering injuries or having suffered something new in terms of the offseason. The update from Pittsburgh is that Sid is on the ice, but what more is there to know there between both he and Malkin?
Well, I'm not sure as yet about Malkin. Like yesterday, I made I sent a bunch of notes, and two different people who would know both indicated these weren't anything to worry about and weren't that serious. I believe in Crosby's case, he did something in the last couple of days, and the word was, although it's not confirmed, was his leg. But he's skating this morning, and by all accounts, he looks really good. So it doesn't look like that's going to be an issue. Malkin, I'm not sure yet, but, like I said, everybody involved here says that this is nothing serious and nothing to panic about, although I will say in a league that is very, very careful about injuries, there's probably no team that hides them more than the Penguins do. But new regime, maybe they're trying to be a bit more forthcoming. Anyway, Crosby's on the ice, and by all accounts, he looks good.
I was going to say, tell Mike Johnston that it's not a big deal, missing those two guys to start camp.
Why? Well, they're minor losses. Like,
yeah.
They always say, as one man's injury is another man's opportunity.
Yeah,
easily.
Yeah.
Someone can step in and replace them.
Yeah.
I think Crosby in particular is going to have a big year. I think he's, Crosby. I think Crosby's a really interesting guy. I think he's become a lot more comfortable being quote unquote the spokesman of the sport than he used to be. But I think he's one of those guys. Either he's aware or somebody around him is aware of everything that gets said. And I don't think he likes the whole, Sidney Crosby goddamn Bylsma fired storyline. I think Bylsma feels that to some degree. I think he has a huge year this year because he wants to get the focus back onto his hockey as opposed to everything else that went wrong in Pittsburgh last season.
The story out of Ottawa, the Bobby Ryan no thanks story. Not stunning, but how do you see the Senators handling this? Because all of a sudden, it's a lame duck scenario for Bobby Ryan in Ottawa.
Well, I went around yesterday and I asked a few guys from other teams, like, if you were negotiating with that player and you got that response, what would you think? And the overwhelming response I got, Dean, was he doesn't want to stay.
Because it was $49 million, $49 million over 7?
I will have to tell you that 49 million people figure is incredibly in dispute. What I do believe is that he was given multiple options on term, with the highest being 7 years. And, if you read the story written by Don Brennan, Don Brennan doesn't come out and say, I believe he was offered $49 million. He says there were rumors he was offered $49 million. And I've searched for it, and I can't find a single source that actively says he was offered $49 million. And the principals involved that I've spoken to say no. So I can't find any proof that that $49 million number is accurate. What I do think, though, is that they did go to him and say, if you want, we'll extend them 7 years. I think what Bobby Ryan is saying is, look, I don't know if I want to stay here right now. I want to see what this situation looks like in a year. Look, the toughest thing Ottawa has right now is, you know, you look at the guys who've walked out of that team in the last few years. Spezza wanted to go. The greatest player in the history of the franchise walked away. Alfredson. Healy's a different story a bit, but he walked away. You know, Zdeno Chara, probably the second greatest player in the history of the franchise, was allowed to leave. I think the Ottawa Senators have to take a look at their situation and say, why are good players leaving? Because I think what the message from outside that Bobby Ryan is sending is, thanks, but I'm not really sure right now. And I think if you're, and I think they're doing this with Mark Methot, they do not want these situations lingering. They can't allow these guys to walk away from nothing. And if they don't get contracts done, I think you're going to start hearing rumors about both these players in the next little while.
Well, they locked up both their netminders. Methot's a local guy. It sounds like that should be able to get done. But I understand the reservations that Ryan has. This is not a cap team. This is not a full building every night. It's not a downtown rink. And, you know, they haven't been able to show the wherewithal to win consistently. Where are they?
I think that's the great question right now. I mean, there's a lot of ownership issues. You know, Melnick was on radio, our partner in Toronto, talking about the financial concerns he has. You know, Eugene Melnick is an interesting guy. Like, I was always told that if he ever sold the horses, look out, because that means he's getting close to having to sell the team. And last year he sold the horses. Now, I know there have been a lot of situations in past years where people have called them and they say, you know, we want to buy the team, and they get rejected. Or they say, you know, if you want to take on a partner to help you with some cash, I'd be interested, and they get rejected. So to this point, he's shown no interest in selling. He's shown no interest in taking on a partner. But everybody looking at from outside, like, they wonder, how long is this going to take? It's just a matter of time. So, you know, I think there's a lot of uncertainty here. And I do believe that's one of the reasons that players are unsure about committing themselves, is because they don't know what the direction of the franchise is going to be and what the future of the franchise is going to be. And, you know, I think until guys really start to get answers, they're going to do what Bobby Ryan's doing, which is like, if you want me to make a commitment to you, I want to see where we are. And right now we don't really have clear answers. You know, also I think, you know, and Spezza talked about this, and Paul McLean really talked about this in an interview recently with Bruce Garriott. There was a lot of friction last year between the players and the coach. And I just think everybody wants to sit and see. 2 years ago, that relationship was really good. Last year, that relationship was not so good. What's that relationship going to be this year? I think that's what a lot of players and the organization want to see, too.
Elliot Freeman, our NHL insider for Eastside Kia. I know we talked about this either earlier this week or last week, and I'm not sure that there's any update, but I'm just curious your thoughts now with no Riley Smith and no Torrey Krug coming to Boston Bruin camp. What is the end game as you see it for Peter Chiarelli and the Bruins to get under that cap? And I guess secondly, the Stan Bowman yesterday saying, yeah, we're looking, probably going to have to make a deal, but we're not in a rush as we feel as the market is conducive to getting a deal done.
Well, one of Brian Burke's mentors, Lou Lamoriello, has a great saying, and that is, if you have time, use it. And I think that's what Stan Bowman's doing, and I really agree with that. I agree totally with that way of thinking. You know, Chicago has three choices. It's Letty, it's Roosevelt, it's Oduya. And I don't think there was a time earlier in the summer I thought it would be Oduya. I'm not convinced of that now. Chicago can take one more run with Kane and Taves at their current salaries before the big extensions kick in, and they're a much better team with Oduya there. You know, Letty's got to qualify Letty to a big number next year, $3.4 million. And if you look at Chicago, look at the guys on the team who make that salary. That's their really heavy hitters. And Letty is a good young player, but he's not a heavy hitter for them. I still think he might be the guy. Boston is a really interesting situation. They had a town hall meeting with their fans last night. Jeremy Jacobs was there. Peter Chiarelli was there. And they said that Krug and Smith are going nowhere. Now, I believe that. I think those guys are a big part of the future. What I believe is going on in Boston is they have about $2.6 million in cap room once Mark Savard goes on long-term injury. And I think they've told Krug and Smith, you're going to split it. Yeah, we're going to offer each of you 1.25. And I think the players are balking. I think for Krug in particular, that's a pay cut from last year. And, you know, they have no rights. They can't go to arbitration. They cannot be signed to offer sheets. They don't have enough experience yet. Those guys are stuck, and they are balking. I think what Boston is trying to do is tell those guys, guys, we've got to do this for a year, and then you'll get a new contract. And they're saying no. And, you know, as Chiarelli said last night, don't believe everything you read, but he's going to have to deal somebody. And the only logical, like, they didn't buy out Chris Kelly. I don't know how much interest there is out there in Chris Kelly, but what I do think is they've talked a bit about Barkowski and they've talked about Boychuk, and I think the price for Boychuk is probably at least a second rounder, if not more. So I think that's where we kind of are right now, and he'll probably take his time too in case someone else gets hurt.
Yeah, that would seem to be obviously maybe more components in a deal there, but for a pending UFA, it seems like a lot to give up for John Boychuk. Especially coming from a team that's in a cap crunch, right?
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, you know, when you're drowning as a general manager in this league, Burke actually has a good line about this. They don't throw you a life preserver. They throw you an anvil. And nobody's really looking to help out the Bruins, that's for sure.
It's on, buddy. NHL preseason. Thanks for doing this.
All right, have a great weekend, guys.
Telling you about this outrageous act.
I'm on board.
Calgary will not stand for these NFL injustices. They will not attend any more NFL games starting this weekend.
Yeah.
You didn't need to come in because your shows are going to sell out, but you did, and then you stayed extra.
Yeah.
You're the best.
You were cool. Sports radio is cool.
Awesome. Yeah. Ari Shaffir, everybody. Yuck Yucks this weekend. Two tonight, two tomorrow. Get them fast. Do it. Sports at 960, The Fan.
Get the fuck out of here.